thankful to God for being able to be blessed by his ministry. And so with that, I am going to hand it over right now to Minister Theo Nelson. The floor is yours.
Good morning. Hopefully everyone can hear me. I just want to say good morning to everyone. What a joy and a privilege and an honor it is to greet you yet again on this Sunday morning. A little different than we're usually accustomed to with being at Unity. I was telling my wife, if not be my favorite, Unity has to be one of my favorite places to come and preach, simply because of the people and the love and the fellowship and the unity that you all show. And it's just an awesome and honor to be here to preach to you this morning. Giving honor also to your pastor, my friend Pastor Robinson, for extending the invitation. Like you said earlier, it is like a yearly thing that I come to Unity, and I definitely don't take it for granted. So I appreciate it, and I appreciate you all being on to hear my feeble preaching and my strong convictions about our Christ. If you just bow in prayer with me just for a moment. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. You increase as I decrease. Take control of my body. Take my mind and think with it. Take my mouth and speak with it. Oh God, we pray that you will be glorified. We pray that the people will be edified. And we pray that the devil will be horrified. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, your tablets, your phones, your iPads, whatever you may be using this morning, we ask that you would turn with us to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at the first verse. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, so it may read a little differently. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at the very first verse. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at the first verse, reads, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.' The disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him, that had followed him, were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowd said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" Now, for a brief moment, I just want to tag this with a title. I would say, how to survive a wild ride. How to survive a wild ride. Many times, family, we hear the phrase that life is just like a roller coaster. Some days you're up, some days you're down, some days you're moving fast, some days you're moving slow, and some days you're just left with your hands up in the air, screaming. For those of us that love and enjoy these rides, roller coasters give us a sense of thrill. Roller coasters give us an adrenaline rush. You love the fast pace. You love the shock. You love the awe of not knowing what's going to happen next or what is coming. But for those of us that don't like roller coasters terrify us. Roller coasters scare us to the utmost. We don't like going that fast with it being out of our control. Family, we don't like the shock. We don't like the awe. We don't like not knowing what's happening next. We don't want to be screaming at the top of our lungs with our hands up posing for a picture. We are most comfortable when we ourselves are in control. Well, family, can I give you a disclaimer on this Sunday morning that many times in life, things will be out of your control. Many things you won't see coming. Many things you won't be prepared for. And many things sometimes will catch you off guard. Sounds familiar, right? Family, this past year has been something that none of us were prepared for. This past year has been the ultimate roller coaster. Just in the last few months, this has been something that we have never seen or experienced before. Family, some of us have lost income. Some of us have buried loved ones. Some of us have gotten sick or know ones that have gotten sick. We have dealt with a global pandemic that changed the way of living. We've been in constant debates about do we open or do we close. The kids are failing online classes. Parents can't juggle online school while going to work. Holidays weren't the same. We couldn't see and touch our loved ones. Marches and protesters in the streets. Terrorists storming the capitals, 2 impeachments and 2 acquittals, and the leader of the free world claiming that the most secure election in history was stolen from him. Family, I believe it's safe to say that this past year has been a wild ride. But family, can I tell you that there is hope, that there is a way that we can survive this wild ride, that there is a way that we can turn this major test into a major testimony? Well, let's look at our text. With this passage, we embark on the last act in the drama of the life of Jesus. And here, indeed, Pastor Robinson, is one dramatic moment. It was Passover time, and Jerusalem and the whole surrounding area and neighborhood was crowded waiting for Jesus. In this text, we see Jesus, the King of Kings, Jesus, the Lord of Lords, is making his triumphant ride into Jerusalem. Kings and princes commonly rode on donkeys to signify that they were of a royal rank, of a royal priesthood. So many times a prince or a king would ride in on a donkey to signify how important they were. So the fact that Jesus rides in on a donkey in the way that a king should signifies or was signifying to the people that he was truly a king. So as they approach the gates, Jesus sees a donkey and he sees a colt that is tied with it. And he tells the disciples to go and get the donkey and bring it to him. And if anyone asks, what you're doing, tell them that I have need of it. So they do this, and he's riding into the town, and the crowd is screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now, throwing palm branches, throwing their cloaks, throwing pieces of their garments, pieces of their clothes at his feet as he's riding in, and he gets into the inner parts of the city, and the people that do not know him begin to ask, who is he? And the people that do know him say this, is Jesus. So family, although it may appear in this text that Jesus himself will be the one that is taking the wild ride, let us today look at the disciples, the loyal disciples that will take a ride themselves in following Jesus to the end and beyond. Suggesting to us today that being a follower of Jesus can itself be a wild ride. I'm sorry to bust your bubble. I'm sorry that I came to give you such a reality check so early in the morning. But sometimes in life, even following Jesus, you can feel like you're on a roller coaster. I know you thought that when you got saved that all your troubles would be washed away, everything would be perfect, everything would be all hunky-dory, that people wouldn't mess with you anymore, that they wouldn't try you, that they would just leave you alone just because you're saved. But once again, I'm sorry to bust your bubble, but sometimes even following Jesus, sometimes even being saved, sometimes even being a Christian that goes to church every Sunday, that pays your tithe, that logs into Bible study, sometimes doing all that can still be a wild ride. But the difference that Jesus makes in enduring life's wild ride is he will make you strong enough to endure, strong enough to handle, and strong enough to conquer life's wild rides. But in order to endure this wild ride, family, this brings me to my first point, is we must be obedient. Must be obedient. In order to survive a wild ride, you must be obedient. Pastor Robinson, I never understood the importance and the magnitude of obedience until I became a parent. Until I had two little jokers of my own that sometimes drive me crazy, I never understood the importance of being obedient until I had kids of my own. Until I became a parent, until I had to ask for things and want them to do things. And so it didn't sit with me, because when I was a kid, I felt like, you know, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. It didn't matter what other people said. You know, I had my own logic. But now that I see things in a different light, being obedient is a lot important than I realized a few years ago, or in my teens, or in my kid years. Because, family, let's be honest, nobody wants a disobedient child. Nobody wants to have to constantly say things over and over and over again. It would be nice just to have to say something once, and it's done just as you instructed. Wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't that be nice? Well, that's what we see here in our text. Jesus gives the disciples specific instructions for what to do. He gives instructions so specific that he even prepares them for what to do and what to say if they are met with opposition. If you don't believe me, it's right here in the text. He said he tells them to go and bring back a donkey for him to ride on. And if anyone asks, tell them that I need it. Here we see family is a great example of obedience. The disciples do exactly what Jesus tells them to do. They do it so well. They do it so good. They do it so great to the point that it makes obedience and being obedient look easy. That anybody can do it just at the drop of a hat. They make it look so easy. But if you've been alive for more than a day, you know that being obedient can be easier said than done. Because as fleshly beings born into sin, it is natural and it is common for us to do what we want to do. It's more common for us to do what we want to do rather than what the Lord tells us to do, rather than what the Lord asks us to do, rather than what the Lord commands us to do. It's easier just to do what we want. Let me break it down for you, family. It's just easier to do me. It's easier not to tithe and to not give my 10% to the church. It's easier to keep that money in my pocket. It's easier to take that money and go down to the liquor store and get something to drink and to get drunk. It's easier to roll up some weed and to get high. I know if we was in the church, y'all be getting real quiet on me right now, so I'm glad y'all muted so I can't hear the silence. It's easier to creep over to a house at night that's not yours in the midnight hour. It's easier to send that late night text to somebody that's not your spouse. It's easier to cuss you out and tell you how I really feel rather than to hold my tongue. Family, sometimes it's just easier to be disobedient. But family, can I tell you that Just because it's easier doesn't mean that it's better. Just because it's easier doesn't always mean that it's better for you. Just because it's easier doesn't always mean that it's good. Family, you cherish it more. You value it more when you have to work for it. It means more when you have to work for it. God doesn't give us these tasks because they are easy. He gives us these tasks because they are good for us in the long run. Because, family, it pays to serve the Lord. It pays to be obedient. It pays to follow the Lord. It pays to trust the Lord and His Word. Because, family, according to the Bible Dictionary, the definition of biblical obedience is to hear God's Word and to act accordingly. Thus, biblical obedience to God means to hear God's Word, trust God's Word, submit to God's Word, and surrender to God's Word. Many of us are struggling on this wild ride because we cannot hear God's Word. Some of us are struggling because we don't truly trust God's Word. And a few of us are struggling because we refuse to submit and totally surrender to God's Word. But can I tell you, family, that that's what you must do in order to survive this wild ride. I know you may not understand what's going on right now. I know it may not make sense, but when you get a word from the Lord, family, that is all that you will ever need. Those should be your marching orders. There should be no back talk, no back and forth, no rationalizing. You are going to have to give it up and give yourself to the Lord. You have to give up your thoughts to the Lord. You have to give up your fears to the Lord. You have to give up your doubts to the Lord. You have to give up all of your ways to the Lord in the name of being obedient. Over and over again, family, we see in the Bible where God blesses and rewards those who are obedient. If you don't believe me, Genesis 22 and 18 says just these words. And through your descendants, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed all because you have obeyed me. It's right here in the Bible where it proves that just how being obedient will bless not only you, but bless your family, bless your kids' kids, your grandkids, your great-grands, your great-great-grands. All will be blessed because of you being obedient. So you got to tell yourself right there that it starts with me. It starts with me. The blessings will rain down because it starts with me being obedient. So family, after we learn how to be obedient in order to survive this wild ride, we have to be, point number two, we have to be consistent. In order to survive this wild ride, we have to be obedient. And number two, we have to be consistent. Well, Theo, why is being consistent that important? Why are you making such a big deal about being consistent? Well, family, you want to be consistent with the Lord. You want to prove that you are serious, willing, and ready to serve. Because many love to be around when times are good, when things are up, or when there's a celebration to be had. People love to be around in those times. That's what we see from this crowd in this text as Jesus enters the gate. They're cheering, they're screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna. They're throwing palms and cloaks and pieces of their garments at his feet. This multitude with Jesus was not only his disciples, but many of them were people that had seen Jesus work and or had been healed by Jesus himself. This was a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Their worship of him was so great that they removed everything from the trees and threw it at him for him to ride over. They're excited that the Messiah, the Savior, the King has finally come. But in 5 short days, their tunes would change. Their shouts of praises would turn into shouts of rage and pleas to kill him, to crucify him. 1 minute they're excited, the next they're enraged. 1 minute they're celebrating, the next they're crying for his crucifixion. Those he healed were now condemning him to hell. How can this be? How can one change so quick? How can in 5 days we go from the top of the mountain to the pit? I'll tell you how. Because, family, there was an inconsistent support and dedication to the one that we acknowledge as our Lord and Savior. Family, if you haven't realized in your life, in this community, in this cancel culture that we live in now, crowds do this. People do this all the time. People can be fickle. People can be phony. People can have fake ways about them that move and change with the times and the trends. So our focus can't be on the spectators. Our focus can't be on the outsiders looking in. But our focus as Christians and as believers must be on the one that can make it better. In order to survive this wild ride, we cannot be like this crowd. We have to be like the dedicated disciples. We cannot be like the people. We cannot be the ones that are only faithful to the church and faithful to the ministry when times are good. We cannot be the ones that are only faithful when there's money in the bank account or when the grades are good or when your spouse and your kids are acting right. We can't just be faithful to God when things are going our way. So my question for you, Unity, is can you be consistent in bad times? Can you be consistent with God? Can you stay faithful when the ride is going faster than you anticipated and it is completely out of your control? Can you trust God with your family? Can you trust God with your finances? Can you trust God with your life? The question is, can you be consistent? Well, Unity, I believe we can. Because one thing that has blessed me growing up, getting older, and becoming more mature in the Lord, more mature in Christ, one thing that I had to start doing myself is I had to start putting myself in God's shoes. You should try this every now and then throughout your life. Put yourself in God's shoes for a moment and flip it on yourself. Wouldn't you hate to only hear from someone when they need something? Or you only hear from someone and you know what they're going to ask you? You know that they're going to ask you for something because they know that you have something to give. I'm sure many of us have those people in our lives. You hear from them every blue moon and they call you and you already know what they're calling for. They need to borrow something that they can't never give back. They need to hold something. And after a while, you get smart and you stop answering the phone because you know exactly what they're calling about. And they've gotten, Pastor Robinson, they've gotten so good to the point now where they'll paint the phone call. They'll fix it up real good to make it seem like that they don't want nothing. Ask you about your day, ask you how your family is doing, ask you how the job is going. Stay on the phone for 15, 20, maybe even 30 minutes. But right before you get off the phone or right before you stop texting, they hit you with that question. Can I hold something? Can I borrow a few dollars? So why would we treat God like that? Especially if we know he's the answer to our problems. Why would we want to be on and off and have an inconsistent relationship with somebody like that, somebody that can fix the problem? Why? Why would we do that? We should constantly be wanting to hear, constantly be wanting to be near God. But can I tell you some good news, family, this morning? That even when we're inconsistent with our love and our affection for God, God is not inconsistent with us. That's good news right there, family. That's enough good news to shout that even when we sin, even when we fall short, God still loves us. He's still there. He still cares because God isn't fickle, phony, and fake. God isn't petty like man. That even though this crowd in this text turned on him in 5 days, 5 short days, We go from celebrating to crucifying him. Jesus still came to die for those people in the crowd. Jesus still came to die for you and I, despite the things that we have done, the things that we're doing right now, and the things that we will do in the future. Jesus still decided to die for us because his love for us is truly consistent. Now, family, that's some consistent love, that even when they were calling for him to die, he still continued because he loved them and he loved us so much. Now, family, that sounds like good news to me, that no matter how low you and I may get, no matter what you have done, he still loves you. He still cares because, family, his love is everlasting. His love is forever. His love is unconditional. His love never fails. His love never ends because his love is consistent. So, family, in order to survive this wild ride, one, we have to be obedient. Be obedient to what the Lord says. Number two, we have to be consistent with our love, be consistent with our time, be consistent with our affection, be consistent all the way around with the Lord. But my third and final point, I am a Baptist preacher, and I'm a 3 points, and I'm going. My third and final point is we have to be vocal. Be vocal, be vocal, be vocal. I'm still in my text. The text says that Jesus came into the city, and the people that did not know him began to ask and wonder who he was. And those that did know answered and said, he is Jesus of Nazareth. Suggesting lastly that in order for us to survive this wild ride, we must be vocal in telling the world who Jesus really is. This is the perfect time to expose those in the world, those at your job, those at your school, those in the supermarket, wherever you may be, that in this chaos, there's a man that can fix it. You must know, family, for yourself and be able to tell a dying world about your Savior. Not grandma's Savior, not mama's Savior, not my sister's Savior, but you must tell the world about your Savior. Family, a couple years ago, I had the privilege of preaching in Mississippi for my grandfather's anniversary. And the head of the committee came and asked my wife if she would be able to introduce me. She didn't hesitate to say yes because she said that was an easy job for her because she knows me and she knows who I am. She has been with me in my good times. She's been with me in my bad times. She's been with me through my ups and my downs and all on this wild ride that we call life. So, family, that's all I came to tell you. Unity, that is, in order to survive this wild ride, you have to know the Lord. You have to know who the Lord really is. You have to be able to introduce the Lord to more people. You have to be able to introduce the Lord to the people at your job. Introduce the Lord to the people at your school. Introduce the Lord to the people in the streets that have not heard the good news. There are people dying. There are people, homeless people in the street. There are people strung out on drugs. There are people stuck in prostitution that have not heard the good news. What is the good news? The good news is that there is a man. Granddaddy would say it like this, I know a man that can save. I know a man that can heal. I know a man that can provide. That is the good news that we must share about who Jesus is. Because we have to tell people that Jesus is the lily of the valley, that he's the bright and morning star, that he's the way out of no way, that he's the resurrection and the life, that he's the Alpha and Omega, that he's the beginning and the end, that he's the first and the last, that he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, that he is the root out of dry ground. You have to tell the people about your Savior. Why is it so important to tell people about our Savior, Theo? Why do we feel like that he can do anything? Well, let me tell you, because Jesus was so powerful that he did something that no man was able to do, that he came down 40 in 2 generations, that he was born of a virgin birth, that he started his ministry at the age of 12, that he started walking
with 12 disciples, that he got sold out by one of those disciples, that they brought him before the court and said, who do you want? Do you want Jesus or Barabbas? Do you want Jesus or a murderer? Do you want Jesus or a thief? And the crowd said, give us Barabbas, because we don't want nothing to do with this Jesus. So they took Jesus up the hill called Calvary, put nails in his hand, put nails in his feet. I'm sorry, y'all, I'm a Baptist preacher, so I got to tell the story. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. But right before he died, he told the dying thief, today you will be with me in paradise. He told the dying thief that I'm not riding on a motorcycle, bro. I'm riding in a two-seater, so you can ride with me to paradise. He died. Put his head in the locks of his shoulders, and he died. But the shout is not that he died. The shout is not that they crucified him. The shout is not that they sold him out. The shout is what he did in 3 days. The shout is that he went down to hell and got the keys from the devil. The shout is that he went down to death and took the sting out of death. The shout is that he got up early on a Sunday morning with all power in his hand. Nobody you know. You may think your daddy is powerful. You may think your mama is powerful. You may think the president of the United States is powerful. But nobody you know that has lived, will live, has all power in his hand. So you must tell the world who Jesus is. You must tell them that Jesus is riding. He's still riding, y'all. He's still riding through the streets. He's still riding through the streets of Apopka. He's still riding through the streets of Orlando. He's still riding through Florida. He's still riding through the nation. He's still riding through the world, because no man cannot hinder Jesus. And you must tell them that in order to survive this wild ride, we got to be obedient. We have to be consistent. And we must be vocal about who Jesus really is. God bless you, Unity family.